We have to have that dream and that vision and that confidence, that conceit almost, and a little bit of ego too to follow it through. Otherwise, we just won't ever finish anything.
Welcome to The Biz Geek, the only show where we combine the lessons of business with the fun of our geek side to reveal the hidden motivations behind today's brightest entrepreneurs. Each week features a brand new guest. On Tuesday, we talk business, and on Thursday, we talk geek to uncover the secret origins of each and every guest. And as a special bonus, Sunday night, there's always a fun Easter egg solo episode to power your week. So grab some power pellets, go ahead, take plus five to relaxation, and join us as we boldly go. Welcome, everyone, to the premiere week of the Biz Geek Podcast. I am your host, Regina Drury. I am so excited to welcome our guest this week. His name is Mike Quinn. Mike is a puppeteer that has worked with the Jim Henson Company for over 30 years. He's also worked on several films throughout his career, including a little movie you might have heard of called Star Wars, The Return of the Jedi, and one of the more recent ones, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. This week on May 4th is Star Wars Day, and I can't think of a more awesome Star Wars day than to geek out with someone who was actually in the movies. I don't want to wait any longer for you to hear this interview, so without further ado, I give you Mike Quinn. And we're back. This is Thursday with Mike Quinn. We are talking geek stuff today. And since it is, hopefully this is going to be released on May 4th, which is Star Wars Day.
Yes.
We have a Star Wars actor here. So we want to talk a little bit about Star Wars. I do want to talk about anything else that you geek out about, but I figure you kind of geek out about puppetry and stuff anyway. So tell me how it was working on Star Wars.
The thing is, I was a fan as well, so that kind of made it even more crazy and surreal and scary.
Nice.
It was the Return of the Jedi was my third film, but I was still 17, if you can believe that, at the time. I still was young and was still learning and was still gaining experience. I mean, not that that ever stops, of course, but I was much greener then. So it was quite intimidating, being a fan of the first two movies, especially Yoda and Empire Strikes Back, of course.
Right.
Being sort of one of the first live-action film puppet creatures of its animatronic creatures in the world, I think, before E.T. So I was pretty intimidated overall. One part of me was thinking, oh my goodness, look, this is Star Wars. There's an X-Wing, there's the Falcon, there's Chewbacca, there's C-3PO, there's all these guys, and there's Darth Vader, and all the actors, of course, Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford. Yeah, it was pretty intimidating. But so on the one hand, I'm kind of geeking out, as one would. But then the other part of me is like, okay, I'm actually a professional puppeteer, and I have a job to do here,
right.
And I have to behave like I've been doing this for 500 years and just get on with it and make it happen and do the best I can. So I found my brain jumping back and forth a lot between those two places.
You go outward, you got to be professional, but inward, you're all jumping around.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know what? I don't think I was alone. I think a lot of people were the same way. And then revisiting this, of course, in The Force Awakens, it was a similar situation. It was very surreal to be back after all that time amongst all these same characters and a lot of the same friends and people. It was really weird. But they were also with a lot of new actors as well and a lot of extras. And I could see them having this. Well, a lot of them actually vocalized this. They had the same kind of feeling themselves. They'd made all these big movies. They were well-known actors. But, I'm on a Star Wars set. And, there's all these characters that I grew up. I had the toys when I was a kid. And all right. A lot of the guys were telling me they had my figure when they were a little kid and stuff like that, which was kind of odd. Made me feel a bit old. But
yeah.
So secretly, they were all that way as well, I think. And I think a lot of them were, I remember there was one scene we were doing where it seemed like almost everyone made a mistake with they all had a lot of little lines of dialogue. I think everyone was just so like in awe, oh my goodness, I'm in a scene with all these characters on Star Wars and I think they were having weird out-of-body experiences and messing up their lines and stuff. It was hilarious.
Was that the end when they were standing around the big circle looking at the planets, trying to decide a plan of action? Is that
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in that room there, which was awesome. But the only person that I noticed was completely cool, didn't make any mistakes, just hit it every time. See if you can guess who that was.
Well, I don't know. I say Carrie.
Harrison. It was Harrison.
It was Harrison.
Of course. Wow. Yeah. He was super cool and just straight and got down to business and didn't mess up any lines. It was, perfect each time. He's done a lot of stuff. He's old school. Harrison's great. I mean, they're all lovely, though. They're all very sweet. So yeah, it's nice to be a professional, yet you can still be a geek and still enjoy it.
I agree.
And still be a fan, you see.
Yeah.
I'm still a fan. My wife and I are fans. And, we were fans of other things, too. Like, we love our Doctor Who. And
I love Doctor Who.
Yeah. I'd love to. And, a lot of the performers from Star Wars, I've worked on Doctor Who as well, as creatures and things like that. So that is on my bucket list. I have to at least do an episode of Doctor Who, even if it's wheeling around in a Dalek or something. Yeah,
that would be cool.
I'd make that happen.
Well, when it happens, you let me know. I'll have you back on. We'll talk some more. So who's your doctor? Who's your favorite doctor?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's a good question. I'm kind of liking that they went back to an older one for Capaldi right now. I'm actually enjoying. I was ready for an older male. I'm also open to a female doctor. I don't know if they can ever make that work and if the fans would ever be ready for that. But I've been looking to see if they could do that for the last few doctors. David Tennant, of course, was fantastic. I mean, they're all good. They're all good. But we did enjoy Tennant for what he brought. He sort of had a nice balance to everything, a little bit of crazy, a little bit of brain,
I liked him. Tennant was my favorite too, yeah.
Yeah, he was very good. But, the very first one I remember was the second one, Patrick Troughton. I'm old enough to remember him in black and white.
Yeah.
Barely. Just barely.
I haven't had a chance to look at all the classic yet. Discovered it in, I think I want to say 2010. So I was even after the reboot. But when I discovered it, I watched 5 years of Doctor Who between December 26th, 2010 and February 2nd, 2011.
Whoa. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's nice.
I watched it constantly.
Did you see any of the movies? Peter Cushing played Doctor Who, didn't he? I think in at least one of the movies, if not more.
Which one?
Peter Cushing. They made films, Doctor Who films.
I haven't seen those. I'm going to have to search those now.
And so they kind of like went outside of the series a little bit and recast the Doctor. So they're kind of interesting. I mean, they were low budget films, definitely. Right. In the 60s, but kind of a good curiosity to if you really want to geek out.
How did you feel about the making the Master a female?
Oh, loved it. I thought, why not? Absolutely. It was a nice surprise. Totally. And she's so great. I mean, absolutely. I was totally behind it.
Did you see it coming when she first showed up?
No, I don't think I did, actually. I'm trying to remember now. I don't remember. So usually I do see a lot of stuff coming. That one might have caught me by surprise, which was good. I like that.
Cool. Yeah. I love Doctor Who. So being from the UK, I guess you probably grew up watching it a little bit.
Definitely. Yeah. It was a regular thing every week. And we were always scared by the creature of the week,
Yeah. Cool. I don't ask everybody this, but seeing as how you've got such a diverse thing going on here and you've actually been a part of some of it. As a geek, what does it mean to you to be a part of Star Wars, to be able to contribute to something so big and so huge in geek culture?
It is actually too big for me to actually understand and get my head around, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So, because I can't possibly understand what this is exactly. All I can do is be grateful and thankful that I have been, a small part of it. And the thing that does blow my mind a little bit is, I kind of like to think that the work that I do is a bit like leaving children behind in some ways, that my work are my children. And the idea that people are going to be looking at what I've done in 100 years from now or 200 years from now, the way we look at perhaps silent movies now with sort of some sort of curiosity and appreciation. I hope that people will enjoy this in centuries to come. And however they're going to view these things, I don't know. But if we're still around in a few hundred years, I hope we are. But if not, then the aliens will enjoy our portrayal of them.
There you go. our alien overlords when they come back. Yeah,
that's the thing. But it is quite surreal. And I can't really quite comprehend what it means, but I have a clue at least. And it is quite mind-blowing how it evolved and how I got to this point and how I got to this place. But it just makes me even more grateful, really, and want to give back.
Right. Do you do conventions or anything with Star Wars?
Yeah. I started those about 2000 or so. So I was, compared to a lot of people, I was relatively late to the scene. And it depends on what I'm doing work-wise as to whether how many I might do. So, I mean, some years have gone by where I haven't done any, and others I might do 4 or 5 or even 6 a year. But it's a good way to meet our old co-star buddies again. Right. And make new friends. I was just at Denver last weekend and met all the local Denver puppeteers and puppet builders. I mean, what a great thing. So the Star Wars universe itself, the franchise itself, has afforded me to travel and go to places I wouldn't other go to and meet people I wouldn't meet. Mm-hmm. A lot of great artists, illustrators, and costume people, and just amazing stuff that people are doing out there, both on a professional level, a semi-professional, and fan base. The lines are blurred, which is really nice. And what I like about it is it connects dots between the fans and the people, the producers, the directors creating this stuff. Right. So it's that degree of separation, which I like to narrow a lot. You know, the yeah. less degrees of separation, the better, I think. And it does create feedback. What the fans say gets fed back into what I do, what they tell me, what they like about the character I wouldn't have thought of. Often they'll talk about the laugh that he has, which was just one little part of the film, but everyone remembers in Return of the Jedi, after the Death Star blowing up, he sort of has this thing with it.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't something I ever thought about, but they keep telling me that was like one of the things they like about that character. So that feeds back then into what I do, and then I'm thinking, I wonder if I can get that back into, you know, into what he does in the future or something. So
cool
things like that. So yeah, I like connecting with the fans, and I like them to be able to connect with me. So I try to make myself accessible as much as possible, and in turn help them if they need something, if they're needing to know how to make something, or how do I get this in front of somebody, or whatever. So it's very cyclical, I think.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool. As we kind of draw to a close a little bit here, I want to ask you, and it doesn't necessarily have to be from Star Wars or even Doctor Who, but geek as a whole, do you have a quote or a motto from any of the things that you've seen, or something that kind of is a motto to live by that you like or that you use in your life in general?
Well, one I keep coming back to, maybe it's because of my age and my body wearing out, but I often use the phrase, it's not the years, it's the mileage.
There you go.
I don't know if you remember who said that.
Not off the top of my head, no.
That was Indiana Jones.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, so in other words, it's not even about the destination, it's about the journey, right?
It's of course.
What you do with the time that you have while you're here, the quality of life, and what you leave behind. So that's kind of that's how I look at it, I think.
I like that. I think I might have to use that as well. That's a good quote. So there you go. So right here at the end, do you want to share with the listeners where they can find you, if they want to sign up to get information on your class as it comes available, where they can connect with you, just any kind of information you want to share with that?
Awesome. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I mean, right now, my sort of main, I have an old website that I've neglected for 100 years, so I won't send anyone there just yet. But I am learning WordPress and enjoying that, so that will become something that I'll do more of, that I highly recommend to a lot of people that are interested in marketing and self-publicity and their creative endeavors. That's just one thing I would suggest. But otherwise, the easiest place to find me on a regular basis is literally my simple little Facebook page, which is Mike Quinn. You'll know it's me because there's usually puppets and aliens plastered all over the images and things. And then elsewhere, if they're interested in getting on a list to be notified about the puppetry course this summer, then it's called secretsofpuppetry.com. That page itself, I think I need to update. But if you go to secretsofpuppetry.com/ sign up, one word, sign up.
Okay.
Then that will take them to a place where they can just enter their email and they'll just be the first to know about things when it comes up. And, you know, I usually try to have incentives where they can get better deals than perhaps if they hear about things later, or they get a lot of stuff sooner, or they can be part of a beta testing or whatever. So secretsofpuppetry.com/signup would be where they can find that. Otherwise, Mike Quinn on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mike, so much for being on the show. I've been so excited to talk to you, and you did not disappoint. It's been a great conversation, and I really enjoyed it. So thanks. Well,
thank you so much, Regina, and I appreciate you working hard to make this happen. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been good getting to know you, and I'll look forward to listening to your podcasts.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right, listeners, that's it for Mike Quinn. And check the Facebook group and anywhere else on the BizGeek or Mike Quinn's page for more information. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of The BizGeek. You can join the conversation in our private Facebook group at thebizgeek.net/Facebook. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of the exciting episodes we have in store at thebizgeek.net/subscribe, or just hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast player. And finally, visit us at thebizgeek.net for more info on who we are and what we have planned for the show. So until next time, live long and profit.